you have your Bibles, turn back to Acts chapter 20. I hope that the passage sounded familiar to some of you this morning. It was the passage we began last week, and we began to get into the testimony and the life of the Apostle Paul. And we talked about the fact as we began that passage in chapter 20, verse 17 last week, but the fact that Paul had often, as he did with the Corinthians, told them to imitate him and follow his example. Now in this passage in Acts chapter 20, he pulls apart the Ephesian leaders at the end of his third missionary journey on his way back to Jerusalem. And as we read this passage, it's a special time that he's going to have with these folks, because you look at verse 25 and it says, "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the gospel will see my face again." Here's the Apostle Paul having his last meeting with these Ephesian elders, this group of folks that he had spent over 3 years with, teaching and training and establishing that church. And he looked at these folks and he said, "This is it. This is going to be my last chance to have a face-to-face meeting with you." And I thought about that from the perspective of, if I knew that this would be my last chance to ever preach here at Bethany Bible Church, what would I say? How long would it take to prepare that message? What would the Lord lay on my heart? Because you want it to be remembered. You want it to be something that's important. You want it to be something that'll impact lives for years to come. And what Paul does is goes into a short testimony of who he is and how we can live a life that counts for Jesus Christ. Now, last week we looked at verses 17, 18, and 19, and Paul said there the first aspect of living a life that counts was remembering that he was a servant. Verse 19, he said, "I was a servant of Jesus Christ. I served the Lord. What I do, I don't do for the church. I don't do for the people around me. I don't do for my reputation." He said, "I do it for the Lord. And I serve humbly." And then I love the rest of what he says there. He said he served with tears, because Paul served passionately. He loved what he was doing. And he served through trials, because if you get into the ministry and if you start serving Jesus Christ in any aspect whatsoever, can I tell you there's going to be trials? And I know so many people who get excited about doing something for the Lord, and then trials come and they just drop out. And Paul said, "I don't drop out because I serve Christ and I serve him with passion. And the trials are just bumps that I climb on as I go further on for him and do what I need to do." And then he comes to the second thing here as we get into the passage this morning in verse 20. "And not only am I a servant, not only am I counting my life successful for Christ because of that, but in verse 20 he said, how I do not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." Paul said, first of all, it's important that I remember that I'm a servant. Secondly, it's important that I remember throughout life there's nothing more important that I can leave behind than the truths of this word, than the truths of Jesus Christ. And so I teach and I bring things to folks and I take the word and I bring it to people's lives. But look at the way he did it. You know, there are a lot of preachers out there and a lot of places you can go where they'll give you a feel-good message. Now, what do I mean about a feel-good message? There's nothing wrong with feeling good. And there's times when we need encouragement. But there's places you can go where week after week they're going to tell you about the love of Christ, and they're going to tell you how wonderful you are, and they're going to tell you how wonderful we have it, and they're going to finish in prayer and send us out the door, but they never tell us some of the things that we really need to hear. How many of you sitting there this morning would say, "I have finally arrived. I am just like Jesus Christ. It's all working for me"? Because if we're not there, then there's something we need to hear from this word to be more like Christ. And even this morning as I came in and I saw all the ice and things, and y'all need to understand, I was in education for 17 years. I was a school administrator, and Caitlin's over there smiling as she and Karis, her dad, still does that kind of stuff. And on mornings like this, I hated mornings like this. If it was snowy or icy out there, kids get up, and what's their reaction when they get up on a morning like this? "It's going to be a snow day." I get up in panic. Is it a snow day or is it not a snow day? Do I cancel now? If I cancel, the sun's going to come out and every parent in the district is going to look at me and say, "What kind of an idiot canceled?" And if I don't cancel, it's going to get worse and all these parents are going to come and say, "What kind of an idiot makes us come to school on a day like today?" And I got up this morning and I thought, here we go again. You know, how icy is it out there? How bad is it? Do I cancel or do I don't cancel? And so I thought, oh, I'll just go online. And I'll just see what all the other churches are doing. Well, churches are worse than schools. They're trying to figure it out too. And some of them are having church at 11, and some of them having church at 2, and some of them aren't having church at all. And I looked at that and said, oh, that's not helpful. So I'm trying to figure out, what do we do, and how do we do this, and where do we go from here, and why do we do it? And that's where, as I looked at that, I thought, you know, if we can have church today, we ought to have church. Because we need to hear what this book has to say for our lives for the coming week. And as I got here, there were a couple people. I pulled in the parking lot, and John Lewis was here. It was his van, and I thought, I have at least one person to preach to today. I was so excited because for a while I thought it was going to be my wife and I. And she gets it all the time. So they know John's here. And then a couple other folks showed up, and they looked at me. And you know the question they asked? They looked at me and said, preacher, if it's only the four of us, are you going to preach to us today, or are you going to save your message for another time? I said, save my message. I'm ready to go. I can't wait. I'll preach it to you. I'll preach it to them next week. Because what's in this book is exciting. What's in this book is what Paul in chapter 19 was passionate about Jesus Christ and the truths that are in here and the truths that change lives. But it wasn't just about feeling good. And I hope you didn't come today just to go away feeling good. I hope you came today to go away feeling changed, to be more like Jesus Christ. Because look what Paul says in verse 20. He said, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Isn't that interesting? In the context of teaching the Word of God, he said, you know, I didn't shrink back from teaching you anything that was profitable. Well, Paul, what would you shrink back from? You ever look into the Scripture and find something and it steps on your toes? And you say, ouch. You know, and when it's in my personal devotions, I do that and I say, you know, Lord, thank you. I needed that. I need to be more like Christ. But then when you're preparing your message and you something steps on your toes and you think, now if I preach like that and I step on people's toes, who's going to come back next week? They won't go away feeling good. So maybe I ought to just kind of soft pedal that a little bit. Maybe we ought to skip over that point. And Paul looked out and he said, you know what? Whatever I found, if it was profitable for you, I gave it to you. I gave it to you full force because it was what you need. I declared it to you and I didn't shrink back because Paul tells us in Colossians 1:10, for am I seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Paul said, when I go to this book and when I teach and I give people the word, I give it to them because they need it and it's profitable. And whether it's going to make them feel good or whether it's going to be convicting, I give it to them because that's what they need. That's what we need. And then I looked and I thought, well, Paul said to follow his example. So what does that mean to us? You ever have anybody come to you and share a testimony or a problem and they're struggling with something in life? And you kind of know what they need to hear, but it's not what they want to hear. Have you ever called anybody to complain about the way life was treating you? And what are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody to take you to a verse that says, do all things without grumbling and disputing? You know, no, you hang up and you call another friend. Because what are you waiting for? Somebody to commiserate with you. Somebody to make you feel better. And Paul said, that's not the way I'm living my life. I'm going to give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. And so as he looks at this teaching, he said, I'm going to give it to you because I'm concerned that it be profitable to you. And I thought about that in my relationships. And I thought, oh, that I have the passion of Paul about the truth of this word to say, when I teach, whether, and he goes on to say, teaching you in public or from house to house, when I look eye to eye with someone who's struggling with something and they need the Scripture, and they need something that may step on their toes, I pray, God, give me the courage to give it to them and not shrink back. Because don't we all like to be liked? Do you like it when people don't like you? You know, and now you put it in a church context. If you don't like the preacher, what do? There's 42 other churches in the book. You go, you Google another church, and you go find another place to go. And it's tempting to say, I want to say something that'll make people like me. And Paul said, that's not the way I teach. Because I teach so that you'll love Jesus Christ. I teach so that whatever you get will be profitable. And I do it in public. You remember how he did that in public when he was at Ephesus? For the first part of time he was in Ephesus in Acts 19:18, he spent 3 months teaching in the synagogue. And then they threw him out of the synagogue. So what did he do? He went and found another hall and he taught for a couple more years because the truths of this word were so important. He said, you need to hear it. And so people came out into public to hear it. And I thought, that's exactly why we have time in church. So that we can get together and study the Word of God together. So that we can hear what he has to say in public. But it didn't stop there. So not only did I teach in public, but from house to house. It's interesting, I found, when I was a school administrator and I had people over to my house, unless their kid was in the school, they didn't think anything of it. You know, they were coming over to our house for dinner or whatever, or we went over to someone else's house. But when I became a pastor, I found out really quickly, when you go over to visit somebody, they open the door. And I had one lady, bless her heart, she looked at me as I got in there and she said, Pastor, are you here to visit or are you here to get on me about something? And I thought, oh, ouch, you know, I just came over to visit. I was hoping you'd fix me lunch, you know. I didn't come over to step on your toes. But she looked at it and thought, you know, if the preacher's coming, something's wrong. But then I looked at Paul and I thought, you know, when Paul came, I'll bet there were folks that wondered and they said that at the door to the Apostle Paul. Because when Paul came to your house, not only did he fellowship with you, but if he found a need, he gave it to you. He gave you the scripture you needed to work on the problem you may have been facing, whether you were going to want to hear it or not, because it was for your profit. He did that because Paul loved the word. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We ought to be going from house to house and sharing the scripture with one another, because that's what we're thinking about. You know, it's so easy to think about other things, isn't it? We worry about the weather, and we worry about money, and we worry about our health, because we're thinking about all those things we can't do anything about. And the psalmist said, you know what I think about? All day long, I meditate upon these truths, because they change my life. So Paul went about teaching, didn't hold anything back, and he went about doing it from house to house and publicly. But not only that, he was a servant, he was a teacher, but look at verse 21. The third part of Paul's testimony is he's meeting with the Ephesian elders. He said, not only did I teach, but testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, a repentance toward God and a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you look at that and you say, oh, here he goes again. He's going to tell us we need to share Christ. You know what I'm going to tell you? You need to share Christ. You need to do it. Paul said, this is important to me. He's only leaving four things about his life with the Ephesian elders in his testimony. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a teacher. I want to teach the word of God. And number three is, I'm an evangelist. I want to give out the gospel every opportunity I have. And look at how he puts this here. He says, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks, a repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Again, this is another thing that Paul is passionate about. Now, how passionate was Paul about sharing the gospel? This was his life. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We need to look at this passage, just a couple verses here, but it explains a little bit of what Paul is saying when he says here, I testify to the Jews and to the Greeks. In 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 19, he says, For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. In the beginning of this passage, the Apostle Paul looks out and says, you know what, Christ has set me free. But I put myself underneath the needs of other people and I serve other people. And this is why you need to pay attention to where he goes with this. He says in verse 20, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. You ever wonder when you look at the Apostle Paul, who was saved on the road to Damascus, why he's always so passionate about getting back to Jerusalem for these festivals? Paul knew Jesus Christ. Did he have to practice all of that Judaism in order to be a Christian and be saved? He carries that and takes care of that in other places. You don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to be under the law or act, but Paul did. Why did he do that? He says here, I put myself and stayed under that, one, as part of his heritage and where he came from, but secondly, he said, because of the fact that I want to win Jews for Christ. I want to have open doors of opportunity. So I do that, but not only that, it says, to those who are under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. Now, that's kind of a long phrase and statement, but basically he's saying, you know what, I made sure all of these laws, whether they were God's moral law, which we ought to be following still, or even if they were just the Jewish requirements on what we need to do, I put myself underneath those because I wanted to witness to those folks. And you know what Paul's beginning to say? he's beginning to say, I took my liberties and I set them aside to live a certain way because I didn't want to be offensive to folks because of the gospel. So I could share the gospel. He goes on further. And he says that to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. So if they weren't Jewish folks, I tried to live as much as I could as a Christian in their presence in a way that I would be able to minister to them and share Christ. But then he goes on and he says here, not only that, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. And I have become all things to all people. And you look at that at verse 22 and you might say, well, isn't this guy being a little bit two-faced? Sounds like he's being a chameleon. You know, I pretend to be this with those folks and I pretend. But Paul didn't say he was pretending, did he? He said, I lived that way because it's not about me. And I looked at that and said, well, I don't know that I want to be under the law all the time like Paul had to be under the law. And Paul said, I'm willing to do that. Why? That I might share Jesus Christ. Because it goes back to the first thing he said about his life. My life's not mine, but I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And as I began going through this passage and thinking about what it meant in Acts chapter 20 and then again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I thought, that's not a very American idea. You know, because I believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it's all about me. And Paul said, it's not about me at all as a Christian. It's all about him. So whatever I have to do, whatever I have to give up, whatever I have to change in order to do my ministry for him more effectively, Paul said, I'm not only ready to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because it's so important that I do those things. And he finishes that, this passage, by saying that in verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in his blessings. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, just a few verses before, he said, woe be to me if I don't preach the gospel. Here's Paul's passion. I want to preach the gospel. And he looks and he says, I do all these things for the sake of the gospel. And I look and I thought, how much of my life is lived just for the sake of the gospel? How many friendships do I go out and make for the sake of the gospel? How many activities do I participate in for the sake of meeting people who need the gospel? And I was convicted as I went through this passage because, you know, as a preacher, it's easy to live your life outside of living it for the sake of the gospel. And not a Sunday goes by that I don't try to preach the gospel. And yet, I look at Paul and Paul said, not only do I preach it, but I live it. I go meet people who are going to need Christ for the sake of the gospel. I go spend my life and invest it in places for the sake of the gospel. Isn't it interesting, you read through this book, and again, I was struck by that as I thought about this whole principle this week. What did Paul do for vacation? You know, where did he go on vacation? Now, I'm sure he went away and took time off and recouped from the ministry. But when I look at Paul, when Paul's traveling, where is he going? Is he going to Ephesus to see the sights? He's going to Ephesus to share Jesus Christ. Is he going to Corinth because it's a happening place? Because there's all this commerce going on and all this culture there? No, he's going there to share Jesus Christ. And I thought about it because I thought, what are the things and the places on my list of the places I want to go? And then why do I want to go there? Paul said, everywhere I go to share Jesus Christ. Because my life is not about me. It's not about my next vacation. It's about the gospel. And he further goes on to say there then, what I do is I do that I testify both to the Jews and the Greeks. And this word testify is a word in the Greek that means to make a serious declaration on the basis of presumed personal knowledge. That sounds really academic, doesn't it? Sounds wonderful. What does it mean? Paul said, when I go to preach the gospel, first part, I make a serious declaration. I know what I'm talking about. You know, many of us don't share the gospel as much as we ought to because we're afraid we're going to be asked a question we can't answer, aren't we? What if they ask me and I don't know how to answer it? Where all the answers are? They're right here. We got to spend our lives learning this book so well that we know how to answer many of those questions, but you don't have to answer them all. Paul said, I testify of one thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So spend your time reading this book enough to be familiar and comfortable with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be able to make a serious declaration, but not just a declaration. You ever hear anybody talk about a topic and you wondered if they'd ever done it before? they were dry and they weren't passionate about it and they weren't excited about it. Is that the kind of person you go to when you need something? You want somebody who's passionate but who's done it before. You know, when I do car repairs, I Google everything and I always wonder, does this guy on the other end of this, you know, who looks like he hasn't shaved in 6 days and needs a shower, does he really know what he's talking about? And then I watch him get under the car, and he's banging things, and they're coming off. I thought, mine wouldn't come off. And he's making it work, and suddenly I realize, here's a guy who knows what he's talking about. Maybe I ought to listen to him instead of listening to somebody else who said, yeah, I played around with that a few times. Try this. And when Paul said, I testify of the gospel, the word he used is, it's because I personally experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. Christ has changed my life. And that ought to be the driving force behind us as we go out to testify, both the Jew and the Greek. And then what do we testify of? Look at Paul's description just briefly of the gospel here. He said, I testify of repentance toward God and of faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel message has two very intricate parts that we need to make sure we don't skip one or the other. The first thing he said was, I testify of repentance toward God. The idea there of repentance, the word means to change one's mind or purpose. It further talks about changing one's life as a result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. It goes on to say about this word, it seems to be more specifically about the total change both in thought and behavior with respect to how one should both think and act than it is simply sorrow and contrition over experience because of sin. And we think of repentance often as just sorrow and contrition. You know, I feel bad about my sin. But when it says we should preach repentance, it says, no, you need to change your mind about it. You need to come to Christ and say, you know what? It's not only that I want forgiveness of sin, I don't want to live in sin anymore. You know, I want to live for God. I want a relationship restored with God. Salvation is about Jesus Christ dying so my relationship can be restored with the Holy God. And we need, in order to do that, to remember, repentance is a part of that. We ought to turn from something. We ought to change. Now, can we change it ourselves? You know, is salvation kind of like AA when you want to get your life back on track and you don't want to be a drunk anymore? Where we can have a list of things and have a buddy to help us and go through it and change ourselves? Now, the wonderful thing about this, Paul says, it's not only repentance, but it's repentance. And if you look further into that verse, in verse 21, it says, testifying both of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith and trust in him because he died for me. Because the power comes from the Holy Spirit of God who lives within me. So I turn from my sin and say, God, I can't save myself. I don't want to be this sinner. I want my life restored and my relationship restored with God. I want forgiveness of my sin, but I want to be what God wants me to be. And that faith, I turn and say, and it only can be done in Christ. Thank you that Christ died for me. I put my faith and trust fully in Jesus Christ, not in me to be what I need to be. And that repentant heart that turns to Jesus Christ results in a changed life. If there's not a changed life that goes with what we call salvation, then something's wrong. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Paul said, that's what I preach. Now, isn't it easier to just preach salvation is forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven? Yeah, if you go to somebody and say, you need to get saved, why? Well, you want to go to heaven when you die, don't you? Well, who's going to say no? There's a few. And they're really in for trouble. But most people say, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know how you know that for sure. Well, just pray this prayer and you can go to heaven. Well, don't forget what it's for. That prayer is there because Jesus Christ paid for our sin, and we have to realize we're sinners before a holy God. That our sin is going to keep us from God if it's not for faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And the two of those work together, bringing us to God and saving faith. And Paul said, that's what my life's all about. It's sharing that faith. It's sharing that repentance. And then I love the way he finishes his testimony. He said, I'm a servant. I want to be a humble servant. I want to be a passionate servant. I want to serve through trials and problems. And as I serve, I want to teach. Because this book and its message is too important not to give out to people. And as I teach, I go around with this book and I evangelize people because the teaching doesn't work until the heart's changed and the heart becomes new. So you need to be born again. And this is what salvation's all about. So I evangelize and I testify of Jesus Christ. But look at the way he finishes this. Because most of us, one way or another, we need to be able to recognize that, yeah, we are servants of Jesus Christ because we've been saved. Our life is not our own. Most of us would say, yeah, we love this book. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't love this book. I mean, I have a unique crowd. We are in North Carolina, south of the Mason-Dixon line, and came out in an ice storm to hear the Word of God preached. So it's people who love the Word of God that are here. And for the most part, we're folks that we like to share Christ when we have the opportunity. Now, most of us can learn to do it better. Most of us can look at some time where we say, well, I should have said, but I didn't. But down deep, if we love Christ, we want to share it. We want to share Christ. So why doesn't it all happen the way we'd like it to happen sometime? It's because of the fourth part of Paul's testimony. He said, I'm not only a servant, teaching and evangelizing, but look at what he says in verses 22 through 27. He says, and now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life as of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul goes into a whole finishing piece of his testimony that's all about the sacrifice in his life, but the key to it is found in verse 24. Paul said, here's how it all happens for me. Here's how it all fits together in Jesus Christ. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if I may finish my course in the ministry I've received in the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What's Paul trying to say there? He said, I'm a servant, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, but he said, it all works because my life isn't mine. How many of us really feel that way? You know, and as a preacher, I give lip service to it all the time, but I read this passage again and thought, have I gotten to the place that Paul got to? Where he said, my life isn't mine. How do we know that we're at that place where we're so passionate about finishing strong and doing what God wants us to do and being what God wants us to be? He said, my life isn't precious to myself. Is your life precious to you? How do you know if your life is precious to you instead of being precious to the Lord as it ought to be? And as I thought about that, I thought, well, the biggest thing is our lives are made up of time and how we use our time. So can I ask you, as you look over this past year of 2018, how did you use your time? How much of that time was dedicated to you, and how much of it was dedicated to Jesus Christ? Because every time I look at that, I think I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm preaching on Sundays. I'm preparing messages in my office. And then when it's all done, I have to look at it and say, now what did I do with the rest of that time? Was it for me? Or was it for Jesus Christ? And it gets down to even basics, but I thought, if my life is really about not being precious to me and to be precious about Jesus Christ, what are my attitude toward different things? And I had to think about it this morning, because this morning was an interesting time. You know, there were people that were waiting, just like kids for school, to see if church is closed today. Because if church is closed, I can stay home and go back to bed, and I don't have to feel guilty about it. You know, the preacher canceled church. He is responsible for that one. And I thought, you know, there are folks that, and some of y'all, praise the Lord, you came out. And I am so excited that you came out. Because when I had four people, I thought if I put two of them to sleep, I'm going to have to just pray and say amen, and they'd be over with, because they're all sleeping. But I looked, and I thought, there's folks that came out, not because they love me, but because they love the Lord. And it makes a difference. There are other folks that were sitting there watching TV and saw, oh, my church is closed today. And you know what? There's a little bit of excitement about that, because I can go back to bed. There was a little bit of thrill about, I don't have to. And I thought, I wonder if those same people would have the same excitement if some of them were football fans and found out, you know, because of the ice storm, the game that was scheduled for 1 o'clock this afternoon has been canceled. Then what would their reaction have been? And I thought, well, that's kind of getting nasty, you know. But put your activity in there. What is it that you love to do outside of spiritual things? And how disappointed would you be if that got canceled instead of an opportunity to be with God's people in God's house? And that's just a small area. But our whole lives are made up with that. And Paul said, you know, the reason I do all I do and can be so excited about these things is because my life isn't mine. I don't look at my life and say, you know, what am I going to do? Why do people create a bucket list? Because these are things that I have got to do before I'm not doing anything anymore. You know, before I'm dead and gone. You know what was on Paul's bucket list? Serve Jesus Christ. What did that mean? Teach. Give out the gospel. Do whatever I could do so that people come to Christ and are more mature in Him and are doing these same things. He said, the reason I could do it is that my life is not of value to me. So what was of value to Paul? He said, I do not account my life of any value or precious to myself, if only that I may finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, here's what's important to me. I want to finish strong. You know, there are a lot of Christians that start strong. And there's something about coming to Christ. There's an excitement when the gospel is given to you and you come to Jesus Christ and you want to do it all. You know, you want to be a part of it all. But over the years, what happens to a lot of people? You know anybody who used to be faithful attending church and they just don't have the time for it now? They started well, but they didn't finish well. And I never think of this passage that I don't think of a dear friend that God's given me just over the last 2 years, but I think of Al Bach. You know, Al Bach is sitting there in an assisted living home right now. And when John and I or others go to visit him over in Hickory, you know what he almost often says? We say, Al, how can I pray for you? Here's this guy. The one time we went to visit him, he's on a feeding tube. He could hardly walk and get around at that time. I didn't think we were going to get to go see him anymore. And it's like, Al, what can we pray for you? And I expect, well, you know, pray that I can get rid of this feeding tube and then I'll be back on my feet. Or sometimes, you know, just pray that this will all be over and I'll be home with the Lord. You know what Al told me? He looked at John and I, and John can verify it for you, but he said, pray that I finish well. Pastor, I don't want to not finish well. I don't know what God has for me to do. I'm like, Al, you know, you can hardly move. What do you mean? What? And then a CNA comes into the room, and he starts witnessing to one of his nurses. And I thought, what are you doing? He's finishing well. And I thought, what about us? What does it take to distract us from finishing well? The world has so much to offer, and there's so many good things to get involved in. But if we're not careful, we spend our lives doing that, and we account our life as value to ourselves instead of to Jesus Christ. Can I say, finish well. Look at what it takes to finish. How do you know if you're finishing well? Paul said, for me, I'm testifying to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not sharing Christ, if you're not encouraging other believers, you're not finishing well. That's why we're here, to serve one another, to minister to one another. And Paul said, I'm working on this thing because I want to finish well. I want to finish my course. I want to do it with no holds barred. And then look at his testimony at the end. But all that I can say this, verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul said, not only do I want to finish well, but I'm telling you right now, as I finish, my conscience is clear because I've lived my life for Jesus Christ. I've taken my vacations planting churches. I've given my time over to sharing and to building into other folks. And at the end of it all, I can say, was it perfect? Did everybody that Paul preached to come to the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept Christ? No, but that wasn't Paul's job. Did all the Christians that Paul ministered to and discipled become super Christians? No, look at the church of Corinth. He had a mess there. But Paul said, my job wasn't the growth, that's your job. My job wasn't saving people, that's the Holy Spirit's job. My job was to be faithful, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and giving people from house to house what they needed to hear instead of what they wanted to hear. And I did that. So my life is a success. Where's your life today? Can you say with the Apostle Paul that my life's a success? Are you living a life that truly counts? Is it a life of service? Is it a life of helping and teaching and training others? Are you giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice whatever the cost to see that it's done? That's a life that counts for eternity. And that's something every one of us can do if we're willing to give our lives over as we ought to be servants like Paul was a servant. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And sometimes it's so easy to think, well, he was a super Christian. He had all of this going for him. And yet Paul was a man just like we are in Jesus Christ. Yet he gave his life over to be a servant, to finish well. His ambition was not to take care of himself and do things for himself, but to do for Jesus Christ. Oh, that that might be our testimony as well. Father, work in our hearts and lives. Help us to find areas where our life may be precious to ourselves instead of to you. And Father, help us to change those things that we might finish well, even as Paul did, that we might finish the course, that we might keep the faith, that we might hear from you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So work in our hearts and work in our lives as we conclude this message and this service this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.